Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
After we pass this bill, being a woman will no longer be a pre-existing medical condition.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, last night, the final voice in the House floor debate, triumphant there in the glow of the vote that she knew she was about to win. In the end, it prevailed by 7 votes, 219 to 212, so no Democrat in a close race this fall will have to run for re-election against the charge that he or she is the reason that the bill passed. If it was a one-vote margin, they all would have had that tag. So we will dispense with the pundits and analysts and experts for now. We've had so much debate on this program. So many of you have made your voices heard. Let's just start by you telling us how you feel now that the vote has been taken. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. It's one of those moments. Our website and Facebook page have a multiple choice version going. Do you feel A, triumphant, B, angry, C, confused, or D, other? You can answer in those terms or not. And later in the program, we'll give you a rundown of the changes that take effect this year from the bill and how they may affect some of you immediately. We'll have a guest for that. But this is such a historic moment. We want to hear from you right now. Did you watch C-SPAN or any of the cable channels that are the were doing the coverage last night? You could get chills watching that vote, knowing how long many Americans have fought for this. So how do you feel at this moment, whether you are pro, con, or ambivalent, insured, uninsured, or underinsured, whatever, if you're optimistic, pessimistic, or have absolutely no idea what to expect? We want to know if you're feeling warmly patriotic, proud of your president, or violently betrayed. Maybe you want to call John Lewis and Barney Frank by racial and sexual slurs, as some of the protesters did yesterday. Interesting that that all came into it. Give us a call and let your voice be heard at this historic moment. 212-433-9692. Our lines are already full, so keep the conversation going on our webpage, where also a lot of people are already posting. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, or to our Facebook group. And how about Obama voters? Will this close the enthusiasm gap about President Obama among people who voted for him? Here's one from our comments page. Feeling triumphant and proud. Triumphant and proud of Obama. Someone else, Jason from Brooklyn. Other, there was such an effort to make the perfect an enemy of the good, but we forgot that the good is often the enemy of what's right. ASDF posts, I'm confused. Of course, please explain. And it goes on from there. And I'm curious to know if it matters if you're insured or uninsured or underinsured. Are the insured among you the happiest? I mean, the uninsured among you the happiest this morning, even though the new exchanges don't actually open for a few years? It'll probably be the next wave of uninsured who will actually benefit. And if you have insurance, are you the most suspicious of what this will mean for you? But call us with your feelings right now. As always, your analysis is welcome, but this is a historic moment for hearts and minds, hearts included. How do you feel knowing this got through the House? And while we're screening your calls, you might be interested to know that the local roll call for this was a little more positive than predicted. One New Jersey Democrat voted no. That was John Adler. That was expected. All the Connecticut Democrats voted yes. Only two New York State Democrats voted no, and there could have been three or four. Michael McMahon of Brooklyn and Staten Island and Arcuri from upstate in the Syracuse area did vote no. Two others, and I think there's news here, who are being closely watched as swing voters, both voted yes. Scott Murphy from Kirsten Gillibrand's old district, including part of the Hudson Valley. Murphy was a no vote the first time around due to fiscal concerns. He's in the Blue Dog Caucus. Well, last night, Scott Murphy voted yes on health reform. And interestingly, Congressman Bill Owens from the famous New York 23 up in the Adirondacks, who won that highly contentious special election that the whole country was following earlier this year in a conservative area, Democrat Bill Owens, he was considered a likely no vote, but Bill Owens voted for the historic health reform, and we'll see how that works for him in November, whether he is seen as principled or out of touch with his constituents. And as I said, later on, we'll give you a rundown of the changes that take effect in the coming months right away from the bill. But right now, call us up. Triumphant, angry, confused, or other, this is a moment to say how you feel. And Orica in Newark, you're on WNYC. Did I say your name right?
No, but that's okay. My name is Onika.
Onika, thanks a lot for calling.
Not a problem. I just want to say that I am exuberant about this vote. A long time coming. I'm a person who has insurance through my job, so I'm not worried about it, let's say, right now. But in the future, I plan to open my own business, and the prospect of buying insurance or, you know, looking for insurance as a small business owner would just seem daunting, and I hope that this bill somehow just makes that process easier when I go to pursue my dream.
Feel any more positive about Obama than you did a week ago?
Oh, no. I'm still the same. I was always on the, you know, pro-Obama bandwagon, so, you know, I was riding high. I'm still riding high.
Onika, thanks for calling. Good luck.
No problem.
Call us again. Catherine in Larchmont. You're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling ecstatic. This is a long, long time in coming. I'm a small business owner, and the premiums go up 10% a year. So it's the biggest expense besides my mortgage. So I am hoping that this will bring costs under control.
And from what I hear, one of the things that will take effect first is some subsidies to small businesses to help them cover their employees. I don't know if that'll cover your business or not, but that's one of the things that we'll talk about next hour that's supposed to go into effect almost immediately.
I'm hoping. You know, there's not a month that goes by where someone, a young person, a young freelancer that works for me asks, can I get on your health insurance? So it's really, really important thing that's just happened.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And Adam in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adam. Adam?
Yes.
How do you feel?
I feel great. I hope that now we can just move on. I did support the bill. You know, I think that it's very important that we insure all the people who aren't insured, and especially in a nation as wealthy as ours. But I do hope that over the next 10 years it can help offset some of the deficit, because if it proves to be too expensive, I think it could be a huge pitfall for the Democrats.
Adam, thank you. Myla in Manhattan. Myla, you were watching it on TV last night?
Yes, I was. It was like watching the ball drop in Times Square, waiting for it to get to at least 216 all three times. I was very nervous. I feel fantastic. I feel thrilled. This morning, I was discussing it with my students in class, most of whom did not watch it and did not know some of the positive things that were going to affect them. All were very excited to hear that when they turned 26, they could stay on their parents' insurance until they were 26. And my best friend, she works for a very small company, and she handles the books for them, and she constantly tells me how much insurance goes up, how expensive it is for them to try to cover the employees. So this is going to help them if they can deduct 50% of the cost off their taxes. And it's just fantastic. I think it's a great start. It's not perfect. I wanted a single payer, but we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. And taking care of people who had pre-existing conditions, especially dealing with young people in my classroom. Some of them may have something like asthma. And once they come off of their parents, I was discussing with them, you were going to have a very difficult time getting insurance. And this takes care of that before they come off their parents. So this is really a great day. We should all be celebrating and working towards the future or making it even better.
Myla, thank you for your call. Like the ball dropping on New Year's Eve. Linnell in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linnell.
Hi. Yes, I'm very, very happy about the bill. I was very upset in January when they lost their majority without putting it through, getting the health care done.
You thought the Scott Brown election was going to kill it? Is that what you meant?
Yes, I was so upset. But I'm glad that it's through now. I wish also that there was a single payer or public option, but, you know, hopefully that can be done in the future.
What's your own insurance status?
I work for the New York State, so I have insurance.
So you're okay, you know, but even so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you have to think of other people. Just because I'm in a good place doesn't mean everyone else is.
Linnell, thank you for your call. Susan in Chester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Brian. I have to say that I am so thrilled. I am so thrilled. I am so excited about what happened. And many of the things that you said to the callers and the answers that you've gotten so far have just touched me. I am someone who's 68 years old. I'm a person who used to live in Short Hills, New Jersey, and have a very nice, easy life. But my life changed, and as a result of that, I spent an entire year without health insurance. And I want to tell you, that was the most horrendous experience of my life. I wasn't yet 65. I did not qualify for assistance. And thank God I was able to get Medicare. Thank God Social Security came along. And I was born in 1941. My parents were both Democrats. And all I can tell you is that last night when I sat there and cried and watched this thing on TV, what went through my mind was this. And I sent an email to my kids that my mother and my father have to be watching from heaven because they would be so excited to be able to see not only that Barack Obama was able to become president of the United States, but to watch Nancy Pelosi, I am a woman, and Claiborne and all the people from the Civil Rights Movement, to be standing there and having been able to help this to happen. It's almost as if it were a fantasy, because in 1941, when I was born, all of this would have been. Mm-hmm. I am so proud of this country. When Barack Obama was elected, the country began to grow up, and they're growing up just a little bit more.
Did you start to, this is pain. Obviously yes. such an emotional moment for you. Did you start to doubt Obama along the way?
Actually, I didn't, because I'm a person who really believes in seeing the glass as half full. I know that this is a brilliant man, a thoughtful man, and a man who has a mission, he has a destiny, and part of it is this. I went out this morning at 6 o'clock here in Chester and bought every single solitary newspaper. I get the Times, but I'm keeping them just as I kept the papers from when he was elected. I live in a very Republican area, and Freeling Hudson is my representative. But I have to tell you, it is just one of the most exciting things that is. It's right up there with his election.
Susan, I'm gonna move on, but thank you. Thank you so much.
And, you're welcome.
Yes, the historic New York Times, at least historic in the sense that it has the full banner headline. That means it's the only headline across the top of the page one, and it's the only article. The only topic above the fold, three different articles all on this start above the fold. How many times a year do you see that? Maybe one, where all the articles above the fold on page one are about the same thing. A lot of you, as you can all hear, who are calling in are ecstatic and emotional, like Susan, like Myla. Some of the more negative comments are coming on online. Calvin wrote, hollow victory, not enough cost control. Oil Monkey writes, this is not what advocates for universal health care have been fighting for. Mandatory universal health insurance is not universal health care. Max Z writes, I'm angry. That's how I feel. The bill fixes virtually none of the underlying problems with our health care system. All this bill did is to throw more money at the money monster. Lester in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lester. How are you feeling?
Oh, hi. Fine. Thank you. I'd just like to mention that I wasn't surprised, and it's probably better than nothing, but it's the cardinal rule of American politics is from Nixon on is follow the money. And it's clear that the health industry needed the bill because they were losing their consumer base. And, the moment... the Massachusetts election threw it in doubt. The large companies dramatically raised their rates to throw support for a bill to theoretically put them in check. And, it's like Briar Rabbit saying, throw me in the briar patch.
So you're kind of feeling mixed about the effects of all of this.
I think it's progress, but it was done by, it was a business deal that was cut.
Lester, thank you. Ed in Soho, not ecstatic. Like Susan and Myla and the rest. Hi, Ed.
Brian, first of all, let me say something. A la Chris Matthews, I don't know why you had to interject those, ignorant racist comments that a handful of people made yesterday into this discussion. I'm very disappointed. Let's be fair on this. I could be quoting you know, comments concerning George Bush as a racist pig and a fascist at all those rallies that Cindy Sheehan attended years back, which were not reported by you. So let's keep this.
Well, there, you know, at let me say, and then you can talk again, okay? In every protest movement, there are people at the radical fringes of it who sometimes voice what may be believed a little further down the ranks. That's not to say that most of the people in America who oppose this bill are racist or anti-gay bigots, but there are various things happening right now. There's a video out there that was taken by the Columbus Dispatch, the Columbus, Ohio newspaper, of a guy with Parkinson's disease sitting down in front of some Tea Party protesters in Washington, and they started berating him and telling him, the guy was old and obviously shaking and had Parkinson's disease clearly from his expressed symptoms, and they started throwing dollar bills on him, like three different people, and saying, your time for handouts is over. You're going to have to work for your health care from now on. So there are a number of incidences that have been coming up, and they are at the fringe of the movement.
Brian, that behavior is appalling, and it's just appalling. But what I'm trying to talk to you about is something that you will not recognize, which is the total double standard on these kinds of events. Those kinds of incidents which took place at demonstrations, excess leftist demonstrations and behavior, are not reported on this radio station in an equal fashion. And it drives people like me crazy because it's not fair.
There are also differences between personal attacks like these and extreme political statements. If somebody calls George Bush a fascist, I may think that's irrelevant to the actual issue at hand, but if you have multiple people calling racist slurs and spitting on Congressman John Lewis or Congressman Cleaver, and then calling Barney Frank what they called Barney Frank, and then doing what this guy, these indicate hate of groups of people in the population. Anyway, go ahead and make your point.
Let me just say, look, I don't expect these incidents to be unreported. Obviously, I'm not. And if you want to make these
right, and I made
fine,
one comment.
It's fine. I know, but it was in the context of, it seems to me, totally irrelevant in terms of the substance you were dealing with.
It's not irrelevant because I'm not really going to let this drop so easily. It's not irrelevant because there appears to be a bit more of that in the Tea Party movement than people in polite company want to say. So anyway, that's. That's what I think I'm seeing. Not in all the opposition to the health care, but in the Tea Party movement. But go ahead.
Look, my major, there's two concerns here. First of all, you should be congratulated. This is a major victory. The Republicans have overestimated, I think, the political advantage they're allegedly getting from this. This is a victory. And you, Brian, and NPR.
No.
Let me make my point.
Democrats.
My major point. First of all, Medicare Advantage is a program that was instituted originally to try and encourage people to get into managed care. And I've never figured out why the Democrats were so hostile to it. There's about 12 million people in it. I happen to be in it because I am in managed care. I've even asked, the insurance company HIP, what the impact of this is going to be on me personally, and they said they have no idea. But the second point I want to make is this, Brian, relating to the understandable positive aspects to this. This is not, I believe, health care reform or health care whatever. It's basically a huge new entitlement program. That's what it is. And people who are getting this entitlement program are going to get positive changes from it, are understandably excited. And they won the election, and they had to vote.
And, Ed, before you go, I can't keep going and going with you, but Medicare Advantage, that's one of the things we'll be talking about next hour, on the list of things that will change, and people who are on Medicare Advantage plans, which is more than 20% of the Medicare population, may in fact feel some pain as a result of this, because the government is going to stop subsidizing it to the degree that it is. And of course, the Democrats will argue, to your point, that Medicare Advantage proved that privatization of Medicare is not cost effective. It's less efficient than regular Medicare, and that's why they had to subsidize it by 15% over what regular Medicare patients get. But nevertheless, they're going to cut it. And so you as an individual, have you heard from your Medicare Advantage provider yet as to whether your benefits are going to get cut or your premiums are going to go up?
No, I don't think they had any way. I did finally get some propaganda asking me to write in against it, and I don't know how many people are actually right. in Advantage. In New York, I think there are actually very, very few people
right.
who are impacted. It's really in rural areas.
And Ed, I'm going to leave it there for time. Thank you very much. We're going to give a pediatrician the last word. Jack in Manhattan, you've got 30 seconds. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Great program. I think I feel proud that we as a country have done this. I feel vindicated personally. I've been involved in some organizations. I've made Hill visits. So there's been a mix of feelings within the medical community about this. And then I feel a great sense of responsibility, because as a pediatrician taking care of children and as the husband of a wife who had cancer and has gone through things, I know there's a lot in the system that's broke, that this one stroke of legislation isn't going to fix things. And as someone who's advocated for this change, I feel a sense of responsibility to make sure it turns out well so that no one's saying, I told you so, 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Jack, thank you for your call. Thanks to all of you who called, including Ed. Ed, we love you, Ed. Keep calling. And our website and our Facebook page still have their multiple choice versions going. Do you feel triumphant, angry, confused, or other? You can answer in those terms or not. And later, we will come back to this and give you a rundown of the changes that take effect this year from the bill. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, calls from New Jersey parents on managing your school district's budget cuts. Stay tuned.